The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a wonderful show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we're going to be analyzing a little bit of the portion of the week, which is Vayakhel, which is Exodus 34. It's also Parshas Shkalim, one of the four special parshas, one of the four special readings, which is read before the holiday of Passover, believe it or not. We should talk about Purim. We play some Purim music over there. That was Purim Chagiga, which means the Purim holiday. And we have some other Purim music, which we're playing through the show. In the second half of the hour, we will be speaking with a representative of evolvetreatment.com. This is an organization that helps people in Judaism discovering their Judaism, keeping in touch with their Judaism. A very wonderful organization. We have a great story at the end. You want to stay all the way to the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Wanted Palestinian terrorist Naif Zaid was found dead at the Palestinian Authority embassy in Bulgaria. It is speculated that Zaid was assassinated by Israel's Mossad. Zaid, age 51, was convicted of murdering yeshiva student Eliyahu Ahmadi in Jerusalem in 1986. He escaped from his life sentence prison while being taken to hospital during a hunger strike and has been living in Bulgaria for 22 years. Extradition attempts by Israel have been unsuccessful. An Israeli soldier was wounded by a Sudanese infiltrator in Ashkelon. This marks probably the first ISIS attack, as the attacker was known to have ISIS connections. Security forces killed the attacker. Iran announced it will pay $7,000 to families of Palestinians killed while carrying out terror attacks against Israelis and will give $30,000 to each family whose home was demolished by IDF forces in response to terrorism. Canada's Parliament passed a motion formally condemning the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement against Israel. The measure calls on Canadian governments to condemn any and all attempts by Canadian organizations, groups, or individuals to promote the BDS movement, both here and at home and abroad, here being Canada. 7-year-old Israeli boy discovered a rare 3,400-year-old Canaanite statuette while on a hike with his father and some friends in northern Israel. That's pretty cool. And finally, this is a story that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. The University of Oklahoma will transfer ownership of a Camille Pizarro's Shepherdess Bringing in Sheep to Leona Meyer. The painting was part of a large collection owned by Meyer's father, department store owner Raul Meyer, that was seized by the Nazis in 1941. Under the agreement, the painting will spend 6 months in an art gallery in France and 6 months at the University of Oklahoma Art Studio, which I don't see how, but she gets to own it, but she has to give it to the art gallery when she dies. But this is weird. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Shalom, Shalom, and here you're listening to the Jewish Hour. The portion of this week is Vayakhel. It is found in Exodus 34 and following. And it is also Parsha Shkalim, which Parsha Shkalim we could have talked about last week because the special reading is actually taken from last week's portion, the beginning of the portion of Kisisa. During temple times, they did a yearly census. And the way that they did this yearly census is that the first day of the Hebrew month of Nisan, which is the month of the spring, which the holiday of Passover falls in, people were incumbent to give a half shekel for every person over the age of 20. Actually, what they were counting was the people eligible to go to war, so that means every male over the age of 20. And this way they knew immediately how big the army was, because everybody at that point was possible to gauge in war. If they couldn't actually go fight, well, they can help build roads and make food and, you know, darn socks, etc., all that kind of other ancillary stuff. The money that was collected for these half shekels went to pay for the community sacrifices. Every single day in the temple, a minimum of two communal sacrifices were offered, one in the morning, one in the evening. And it was such that if it's a communal sacrifice, it has to be supported by the community. So now the way it was a very interesting thing in that half a shekel, like we say like 50 cents, is not a lot to give. But if you're talking millions of people, then it adds up. And there usually were leftover funds, which were allocated for other things after the year. But when a sacrifice was offered, it wasn't to say, like, today my half shekel pays for the lamb and tomorrow your half shekel pays for the lamb. No, it was divided in such a way that the number of half shekels given, let's say there were 3 million half shekels given, so 1/3 millionth of my half shekel would go to today's lamb. And 1/3 millionth of my half shekel would go to tomorrow's as well, so that everybody had a portion in the community sacrifices, and thus the sacrifices were on the behalf of everyone. The initial half shekel that was given was as an atonement for the golden calf, which was discussed in last week's portion. When Moses was up on the mountain lobbying with God to get the Jewish people forgiven, so Moses finally got it. Everything's good. But God says, you know, they got to pay up big time for what they did. I mean, the golden calf is the exact antithesis to the giving of the Torah. Moses says, okay, what's it going to cost? So God said, half a buck. It's like a half a shekel, even in the desert, was nothing. So Moses was very perplexed. How could it possibly be that a half a dollar would atone for the worst sin ever perpetrated? I mean, equal to the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden? The Medrash relates that God reached under his throne of glory, so to speak, and pulled out a fiery coin and said, Zayitnu, which that actually is in the verse, this they shall give. And Moses said, oh yeah, got it. So what's the deal? What did God show him? He said he showed him a fiery coin. The coin was specifically made out of kesef, which means silver. Kesef comes from the word to long for. It could very well be that the reason why silver is called kesef is because people long to have it. But it refers to a longing. And what type of longing now did people need to have? They needed to have a fiery longing. Meaning that how is it that a person could atone for the complacency of the golden calf? Because you think about it, you look at it. The sin of the golden calf was perpetrated by a very small number of Egyptian converts. They were killed immediately by Moses, who took the golden calf and ground it into a little powder, into powder, and then mixed it with water, and they drank it. And anybody who actually worshipped the calf died. Then there were the fence sitters, those people who were saying, you know, if Moses comes down and he's successful, I'll go with Moses. But if the calf wins out, we'll go calf. Those people all died in a plague, like 14,000 people. Everybody else didn't have anything to do with it. It was their laissez-faire attitude, though, that made them responsible. In Judaism, if a person has the ability of stopping a person from doing something wrong and just sits back and doesn't do anything, they're considered ancillary to the crime. So the Jewish people were sort of lackadaisical in their devotion to God. So God said, if they want to get back in my good book, they have to show some fiery desire, show some passion in what it is that you're doing. Get excited about it. This is one of the things that we do here at the Jewish Hour is I end every show and have ended every show for 20 years now. Entertaining and educational. Because religion doesn't have to be boring. It doesn't have to be stale. Au contraire. It should be vitally awake within us. And our relationship with God should be like a passionate love affair. And you know what? It says more than we want a relationship with God. The Almighty wants to have a relationship with us. So the Almighty's not asking a whole life, half a buck, which means not a whole lot of effort, but it has to be with a fire. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Stop paying more than your fair share of property tax now. I'm Stephen Poulter, attorney at law and president of Express Property Tax Appeals. Right now, your commercial property tax assessments are in the mail. Like many commercial property owners, you're probably paying unnecessary and exorbitant property taxes, potentially costing you hundreds of thousands of dollars every year. Express Property Tax Appeals can help. I recently reduced one of my clients' property tax values by $2 million, realizing $250,000 in real tax dollar savings. I can do the same for you. If you're a commercial property owner, manager, or broker, and are tired of paying more than your fair share of property tax, call Express Property Tax Appeals now at 855-LOW-TAX-9 or online at lowtax9.com. That's 855-LOW-TAX-9 or online at lowtax9.com. You have nothing to lose except your looming property tax burden. I'm Stephen Poulter with Express Property Tax Appeals, and I look forward to saving you money on your property taxes.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We got a PSA coming up for you right here, so I can find it. Here we go. Did you hear the news? Uncle Moshe and the Mitzvah Men are coming to town, sponsored by Darchei Torah. This is Sunday, March the 6th. I believe that's next week. 2 p.m., West Bloomfield High School. Everybody knows where that is. For more information, call 248-357-3560 and ask for information about the Uncle Moshe concert. We have up now, next, for your listening pleasure. This is Ohad. It's been a while since he's done something that we would like to report about. So, Mr. Ohad is singing now Kol Sason, which is a wedding song. So, let's listen in.
Asher bara sason v'simcha, Asher bara chatan v'chala, shalom
assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Harry Schulfinman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, this is Yaakov Shapiro singing a song called Shluf Shoin Yankele. It was written by Mordechai Gebirtig, who was very prominent Polish folk song writer poet. He was killed by the Nazis in the Krakow ghetto. In 1942, and just wrote a whole litany, very prolific writer. We're going to do one piece of his this week and one piece next week. This one is Schlusherin Yankel. It means go to sleep already, Yaakov. It's a lullaby. I'm not sure the provenance of the song as to what it was written for specifically, but it's like a don't worry song. It sort of starts off as there's a little kid, and he says, go to sleep. You have all your teeth. You have nothing to worry about. Which is interesting to think that people are thinking about their teeth, but I guess, you know, before modern dentistry. And then don't worry about it. You're going to be a scholar. Don't worry about it. You're going to get married. Don't worry about it. Everything will be just fine. And that's the basic translation of the song. So let's listen to Yaakov Shapiro doing this rendition.
Shluf Lov ze mir schon Janka le mein Scheine Die Egelach, die schwarzen Kämach zu A jingele, was hat schon alle Zeindele Muss noch die Mame singen ein Lulu A jingele, was hat schon alle Zeindele Muss noch die Mame singen ein Lulu Ay ingele was hot scho in alle Zeindala Und wird mit Masel bald in Cheder gehen Und lernen wird er Chumisch und Gemore Soll weinen, wenn die Mame wiegt ihm ein Und lernen wird er Chumisch und Gemore Soll weinen, wenn die Mame wiegt ihm ein. Ein Ingele, was lernen wird gemore, Ot steht der Tate, quält und hört sich zu. Ein Ingele, was wächst der Tal mit Hochem, Los ganze Nacht der Mame nicht zu ruhen. Ay ingele vos wächst der Tal mit Hochem, Los ganze Nacht der Mame nicht zu ruh. Ay ingele vos wächst der Tal mit Hochem, Und nagen it er zeucher euch zugleich. Ay ingele ha kluger chosn bocher, So liegen also in Asleinateich Ein Ingele, ein kluger Chos und Boche So liegen also in Asleinateich
Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox.
Herschel Femin here, you're listening to The Jewish Hour. We have time for one more song in this set. It's Purim coming up real soon. One of the prayers which is included in the liturgy is Al Hanisim for the miracles and the wonders that God has perpetrated for us. And here we have Yitzhak Cohen singing that song.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We are on with Dr. Alexander Rant, who is the clinical director of Evolve Treatment Centers. How are you today, Alexander?
Thank God I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good. Baruch Hashem, thank God we're doing very well indeed. Okay, so we're talking today about this wonderful organization. My wife was recently in New York for the annual Kinas HaShluchim, the Lubavitch Rabbis Convention, and was approached by a member of your organization, and just her short little talk left her enthralled and said, this is an organization that needs to be talked about here on the Jewish Hour. So tell us about Evolve then, Doctor.
Okay, sure. So Evolve, originally based out of L.A., where they have 3 inpatient programs for teenagers suffering from either mental illness or substance abuse or both. There are 3 6-bed facilities there, so there's a lot of individualized care. And then there's 3 outpatient programs. Some of them include a PHP, a partial hospitalization, and some of them are IOPs, intensive outpatients. What those terms mean, just looking at the level of care, how many visits they're getting a week, how many times they're seeing their therapist, how many groups, how many hours they're in treatment. In addition, Evolve has opened up 2 programs that are catering specifically to the needs of the firm community, 1 in L.A., and 1 in Brooklyn. You know, the 1 in Brooklyn is brand new. The 1 in L.A. has been around for over a year. And those 2 programs are catering to the needs of teenagers and young adults. The 1 in L.A. actually has availability for all ages, and the 1 in Brooklyn is currently catering to young adults and teenagers, where the focus is, again, treating mental illness and or substance abuse in a very comprehensive manner with therapists there, psychiatrists, a whole different groups and modalities of therapy. And, you know, our goal is really to meet an unmet need in the firm community and providing quality care to teenagers and young adults in a way that maybe wasn't provided before.
Okay. So now, are we talking here, when we're talking about, say, like substance abuse, there's various levels of, there's a person you're talking about, a religious family that lives in Brooklyn. And they go into Yankala's bedroom one day, and his mother finds a joint in a dresser someplace, and she freaks out and she panics and thinks my son is a drug addict. Does she need to call Evolve?
So the first step would be, if she called Evolve, we would set her and her son up for a comprehensive evaluation. The first thing is to determine, is this a problem, how large of a problem it is, and what type of treatment that this client needs. You know, some clients, you know, they wouldn't meet criteria for our programs because either they would, you know, their problem hasn't been gotten that hasn't been exacerbated yet. It's not that big of an issue, and maybe they smoked once and it was a one-time thing. You know, they probably would qualify maybe for regular individual therapy. But each case is assessed, you know, on an individual basis. Our therapists are well trained in assessing substance abuse and mental health, and we can determine what level of care the client needs and the family needs. And if we can provide it, great. And if we can't, we would help them get to the right level of care.
Okay. So now, so let's then say it turns out that Chaim doesn't just have a joint in his room. He's got a problem, which your intake people have said, Mrs. So-and-so, your Chaim has a problem. What happens now?
So we would set up an appointment, and Chaim would come down with a parent to one of our programs. He would meet with a therapist individually. He would assess the problem. He'll be doing a comprehensive evaluation. Our therapists are well-trained, again, in working with this age group and with the families and figuring out what the problem is, how bad the problem is, and what level of care that this client might need. And we would provide education to the parents and to the client about what's going on, what we think would be the best course of treatment, and then see if we can help them.
Okay, so now Chaim, like many teenagers, who is in a state of rebellion, one of the reasons why he might be engaged in such behavior is just to get away and break from his parents, isn't willing to go any place where his parents want to take him, no matter how good it might be for him. What would Yuval say to Chaim then?
Well, Chaim sounds like a very typical teenager. I think, you know, most teens aren't interested in, you know, going where their parents want them to go or don't believe that they have a problem. And that's really where expertise comes in working with a teenager and understanding how teenagers think, understanding their motivation, and creating a program that actually the teenagers are happy to be in. It's one of the things that I can say proudly about our program in Brooklyn is our current clientele, they see our treatment center as a second home. They feel comfortable there. They feel love from the clinicians. They feel like they're getting quality care, a lot of individualized care that's offered to them. So our goal is to create an environment where the teen feels like, you know what, I want to be here. I want to get the help here.
Okay. Explain how you do that. Let's talk about that a little bit more. How does all my kids are, thank God, past teenage at this point.
You're lucky.
Yeah. What we said was when my first one of seven hit 14, and with the first door slam, we kind of just said, okay, take a deep breath and hold it until the last one is 22. And we survived teenagehood, you know, so, and I did see bumper stickers that did say that grandchildren are your reward for not killing your teenagers, you know, so there is this normal, the generation gap has been around probably since Adam and Cain, you know, so how does one get through to a teenager, especially if they're really not interested in following the program that their parents would like them to follow?
So that's a great question. And I think, you know, understanding culturally what's happened, you know, in our society, what the interests are of teens is, I think, most importantly, a prerequisite for anyone who's working with teenagers nowadays. We have to understand what are teens drawn to, what do they enjoy, what do they hate, authority, for one. So we're never going to approach them in an authoritative manner and say, this is what's wrong with you, this is what you need to do. If you don't do it, you're going to end up on the streets, da-da-da-da-da. Right away they shut down, they're like, I'm not interested. It's listening. It's a listening information from them, saying, hey, what's going on? Tell me about, you know, school. Tell me about what's happening, and listening with an open ear to what they're saying and figuring out a way to connect to them based on what their interests are and showing them that, you know what, I get you. I get it. It's not just drugs are bad and if you do it, you're going to die. It's, I understand. You know, sometimes getting high is the only relief that a teenager has from some pain that he's suffering from, whether it's trauma that hasn't been treated yet, whether it's, you know, family conflict that's going on. You know, it makes sense why people use drugs. It does make sense. It's not a great answer to a problem. It's a bad answer to a problem, but it does make sense. And the teenagers have to feel that we get that, that we're not judging them, that we're not looking at them saying, hey, you know, what you're doing is crazy. You're going to kill yourself. You're ruining your family. All that judgment needs to go out the window.
Mm-hmm. What about if the kid's just doing it out of extreme boredom, which teenagers get extremely bored very quickly?
Yeah, it's amazing that despite all the PlayStations and all the iPads and iPods and TVs and computers that our teenagers are, you know, are seemingly more bored than ever, despite all the entertainment that's offered to them. That's a very fair point. I think that one of the biggest dangers in raising a teenager is if they don't have what to do to occupy their time, then they're going to find something unhealthy to do. And in working with families and parents, you know, one of the goals is to create an environment where the teenager feels like their days are full. You know, whether it's through sports or through other activities. I think one of the causes of somebody experimenting initially with substances can be boredom, can be curiosity, and that needs to be addressed.
Okay. One of the problems with dealing with a frum community with problems is you have this, there's an expression in Yiddish, I don't know how well your Yiddish is, I'll have to explain it anyway for our listening audience, is you have this Gej family. Have you ever heard the expression Gej?
Explain to me, please.
Gej means the upper crust, the important families in the community. You know, these are people who can trace their lineage back to Rabbi so-and-so. And for them, they have to worry because they have to put up this air of everything is okay. And first of all, because having a problem puts kind of some kind of a stain on the family reputation. And second of all, they've got other kids that they want to get married to the proper people. And if there's a stain, so that means that they're not going to get a good shidduch, they're not going to get a good match. There's a problem then with getting through to the parents that what they're going through is not something unheard of or evil or whatever adjective is. How is Evolve going to get now through to the parents of such kids?
So I think it's an excellent question. I would venture to say that not only are these types of families ashamed, and perhaps that leads to some denial about the problem or a fear to treat it. I think most from families are like that. I think particularly one of the reasons you mentioned because of shidduchim, wanting to marry up their children. And if there's a stain on the family, then you know what? People are going to overlook that family and choose someone doesn't have that. One of the things, you know, that I speak to parents about is that, you know, we run a risk when we don't treat a problem in its earlier stages that it gets worse. And if we don't treat it in its middle stages, it gets even worse. So sometimes the embarrassment that could be saved from, God forbid, a kid ending up in a hospital or, you know, God forbid, even worse than that, it's worth the risk in going to treatment. Now, obviously, our treatment is provided in a confidential manner. Confidentiality, especially when working with the FRUM community, is of utmost importance to all our staff in ensuring it and working with the family in that type of manner as well. But the message to the family is, if you don't treat the problem, unfortunately, things tend to get worse, not better, and then the embarrassment can really get out of control.
Mm-hmm. But somebody there has to make the first step, because you're not doing outreach looking for these people. People are coming basically to you.
We do offer some community programming. We want people to be aware of our programs, that, you know, that what we're offering them. There are some, you know, there's a free support group that we were running currently for parents. So we do try to let people know that we're out there, but ultimately, yes, you know, a family has to ask for help. You know, nobody could be forced into treatment.
Okay, I know. Is Evolve doing any like community stuff? Like, for example, I know for sure that there are, I wouldn't call it exactly a drug problem, but there are people who are experimenting with drugs, leading to the point where they are inclined to drop out of religiosity because of the drug habit. And these are people who are sitting in Hasidish yeshivas, Litvish yeshivas. People who are like headmasters generally want to also overlook a problem. So is there anything going on like that to get people to go to where these people are that don't even think they have a problem, Dr. Alexander Rant?
Yes. And I want to just clarify also again that Evolve treats not only substance abuse but also mental health, you know, issues as well.
Yeah, we're going to get to
that
too. We
currently have some clients in our Brooklyn program that aren't suffering from substance abuse at all, but just have, you know, maybe a severe depression or anxiety disorder, bipolar, and you know, we can offer comprehensive care for clients like that, which, you know, unfortunately doesn't really exist, and certainly not in the FRUM community. But even the level of competency of the programs in New York is also, you know, not that impressive. But in terms of the question that you asked, so Evolve is creating connections with all the different organizations, the FRUM organizations that are outreaching to teenagers, to young adults, and we want to work together with them. You know, we want to be one cog in the wheel of the different organizations that are out there helping, because there are some wonderful organizations that are out there, some grassroots, some of them, you know, other agencies, and our goal is to collaborate with them and to make sure that, you know, we'll fill the need that they can't fill and we'll help them fill, you know, a need that we can fill.
Okay, let's talk about now the other aspect of mental health issues. Very often, it just, I don't know, it seems like it's going on beyond proportion now. When I was a teenager in a public high school, I was in a very large public high school, we didn't hear about kids who were depressed and kids where there's a lot less drug taking. There were a couple kids who were on Ritalin, but for the most part, they were considered like, okay. But it seems to be, it's like become like a norm that mental illness and teenagehood, or even younger than teenagers. So if you want to comment on that, please.
Sure. I mean, I think let's start with the comment you made about Ritalin, and let's target ADHD for a minute, because it seems like there's a lot of controversy if we're over-medicating and over-diagnosing children with ADHD and starting to medicate them at a very young age. There's an argument that the schools are pressuring parents because if a kid is acting out in class, you know what, instead of doing behavior modification, it's a lot easier if that child takes a pill. So there's a whole debate about, are these kids really ADHD? And obviously it goes back to the assessment. You got to do a proper assessment. There's also arguments that with the advent of all the new technological devices, our attention span is being trained to be shorter. You know, I think there was a study done a number of years ago that the spaces in between like how long, like let's say a movie or a TV show, before it switches frames, used to be, let's say, 8 seconds, it now needs to be like 3 seconds because people just don't have the same attention span they used to have. So culturally, there's definitely been an impact. There's a debate about what you're saying as well. People argue, is it that we didn't have the same issues in the past, or is it that we weren't treating them? I don't know if it's easy to tell either direction, although it does seem like, you know, there was more stability in prior years than there is today. I think there are a number of factors that contribute. I think, unfortunately, we're seeing the divorce rate go up, the breakdown of families, which is definitely a contributing factor. I think some of the pressures that exist today, there's some financial pressures that exist today. When you lived in a shtetl, it was a lot easier. You weren't competing with your neighbors. You know, I think also with the internet and the access to so much information, so much of it harmful, but that our kids have at their fingertips through a phone, through a computer, through an iPad, the risk of them being exposed to things that we want to keep them sheltered from is obviously much higher. So I think that there's a lot of factors that have contributed to the increase in mental illness and substance abuse.
Okay, understood. Now, so let's talk. Your residential centers are all on the West Coast?
Yes.
And the
intensive
programs?
They're all on the West Coast. It's three different centers. Each one of them has 6 beds. And the advantage of a facility that has 6 beds is the individualized care is top-notch. You're not in a large program. You're not being overlooked. Each client is dealt with individually. What are their specific needs? What brought them in here? What are the underlying issues that we need to treat? And, you know, what's the plan of action when they leave in order to maintain the gains and the skills that they gained in the program itself?
Okay, so how does somebody who's not located in Brooklyn or Los Angeles contact Evolve?
So Evolve is an 800 number, which is 1-800-665-GROW or 1-800-665-4769. And the admissions department there is top-notch, and they're wonderful. And they would walk a parent through what the process would look like. Evolve works with insurance companies, and they have a great team of people that will contact insurance companies and fight for the clients, because we know that insurance companies would rather not pay. But you know, we will argue based on the need, that if a client needs care, you know, the team at Evolve will argue to get them the best care possible and the longest possible care in order to treat the problem. And that's something which is really unique and important to us as well. We don't like turning down clients. We like to figure out a way to treat everyone that knocks on our door.
Okay. And 6 beds in 3 different places means to me, as far as I can remember, only 18 people at a time. Doesn't sound like a whole lot that you're able to do simultaneously. It would seem to me that the need would be greater.
That is correct. And in terms of inpatient care, that's what Evolve has at this point, although they are looking to expand. But in terms of outpatient care, there's another 3 programs that exist on the West Coast. And then in addition to that, there's the Jewish program, the Jewish community program in L.A., which is very similar to the Jewish community program in Brooklyn. We kind of are, you know, sister or brother programs. But that is correct. There's 18 beds total for their inpatient programs. And I think some of it, though, is we'd rather not treat too many people and not give them adequate care. We'd rather have, you know, adequate staff. The ratio of kids to staff is, you know, our staff members, it's much higher than the average places. We'd rather provide quality care and expand and grow slowly than just to rush and to take in as many people as possible.
Okay, so if you're just joining us, our guest has been Dr. Alexander Rant, who is in charge of Evolve Treatment Centers. He's a clinical director, I believe.
Thank you.
And we have to wrap this up, though. If people should feel that they can, that Evolve is an approachable organization, correct? That's your goal.
Very, absolutely. You know, we're here to serve the firm community and the community at large. But I would say the main goal is for people to feel like we will work with you. You know, we understand that people are calling in pain. They're calling in crisis. They don't know what to do, who to turn to. And first and foremost, you got to be a decent human being before you're a therapist. So, you know, you pick up the phone, you call, you're going to get another human being on the line that's going to listen to you, that's not going to rush you through, that's going to explore your options with you and try to provide the best possible care. And if we are not the right place for you, we will help you find the right place.
Oh, that's actually very important, too, and crucial, as a matter of fact. Okay, Evolve has a website, I'm assuming?
Yes, www.evolvetreatment.com. And the Jewish program has its own website, which is www.evolvejct.com.
Okay, indeed. And the phone number again for people who want to like pick up the phone?
Sure. The phone number again is 1-800-665-GROW, which is 665-4769. Okay. And I have one question for you. If somebody wanted to access this short interview that we did, is it accessible online?
Oh, sure. We, as I say at the end of the show, or at the beginning of the show, the Jewish Hour is available at rabbifinman.com. iTunes, Stitcher on your smartphone, at jcastnetwork.com. And that'll happen sometime later this afternoon.
Wonderful. It's an absolute pleasure speaking with you.
Okay. Thank you. It's been a pleasure in coming on and enlightening us, and we wish you continued success. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you. You too. We've been talking with Alexander Rant, who's the clinical director of Evolve Treatment Centers, for teenagers and young adults experiencing chemical issues and mental health issues. If you need them, don't be shy. Give them a call. Look it up at evolvetreatment.com. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Hey, Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest, bestest way? Go to rabbifinman.com, www.rabbifinman.com. Right on the homepage is a contact me link. Contact me. I'll contact you. We'll engage and therefore become engaged. We're not going to get married. I'm already married. Sorry. You'll also find archived editions of the show, as I just mentioned. You'll also find the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U-Story, which are entertaining, hopefully, and educational insights into the portion of the week, stories, things about festivals. There's also a classes page of some very deep Jewish Hasidic philosophy. We've been going on since 2009 with that. We have every class is posted. It's absolutely wonderful, if I do say so myself. And there's the donations page. We're at the end of February. We're not even close. I'm very thrilled with the patience that Salem Communications has with the Jewish Hour in our lack of promptness of paying. We're supposed to pay, technically speaking, at the beginning of the month. And there have been times when we have been 3 months behind. But you came through. People like you came through. Whatever it happens to be, $5, $10, $25, $180, $10,000, whatever it happens to be, you will help ensure that the Jewish Hour, next week, we're celebrating our 20th anniversary on air, and we have only been able to do it because every single month, every single week, at the end of the show, I go through this ordeal of requesting your donations. We're in the middle of the year. There's no IRS is not jumping down on you. It's not Rosh Hashanah time, but it's the whole year. You know, your money, you make money. You don't make money just at the beginning of the year, at the end of the year. The Almighty apportions your money over the course of the year. And that's the way it is with everybody and everything. Everybody gets what they need when they need it. So this is the end of the month. Guess what? We need it now. So do the right thing. Help the Jewish Hour. We're a 501(c) corporation, so it's tax deductible. We are a recognized charity in the eyes of the Almighty, so it takes accounts for your tithing. Do it today. Go to rabbifinman.com. Go to the donations page. Click the donation. If you have a PayPal account, the whole thing takes 30 seconds. If you don't have a PayPal account, it'll take you 3 minutes. But then you can do something very interesting is there's a tab that says, do you want this to be a monthly donation? And then you don't have to worry about it ever again until your card expires, in which case you have to enter the new expiration date. It could be, like I say, $10 a month, No problem. It's $120 a year. That's great. That's awesome. Do it today. Don't like doing internet giving? I understand. Credit cards, identity fraud, all that stuff, whatever. Send your donation in any amount to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. This story that we're talking about now does not involve a Rebbe. It involves a person, not even somebody who's referred to in the jargon as a guter yid, which is some very special person, but it involves a person I would refer to as a mensch. Oh, about 20 years ago or so, maybe 25 years ago, there was a movement to close the streets in Mea Shearim on Shabbos. Mea Shearim is a 100% religious neighborhood. There is nobody in the neighborhood of Mea Shearim who does not keep Shabbos. That just so happens that the number one bus goes through Mea Shearim. And this would pose a problem because the number one bus could not go through Mea Shearim on Shabbos. So there's all kinds of things they did. They put dumpsters in the beginning of the streets to close things off. They did roadblocks. They put cars. They did all kinds of stuff. Okay, and there was this actually got people angry. How dare you close the streets? They're not your streets. They're public streets. But you understand, people are walking around. They don't want to be bothered with this stuff on Shabbos. They want to have the respite of Shabbos without seeing, especially, I can understand, the pain of seeing a Jew drive through their neighborhood. It caused a lot of controversy. There was one young upstart who said, I'm going to show these guys. And what did he do is he actually drove his car right down the middle of Rehov Mea Shearim, right down the center. And it caused a panic. People just like became a pedestrian mall over here. And this guy's just going through and people are diving out of the way, pregnant women with baby carriages, the whole business. One person memorized the license plate of this guy. He went the next day, because on Sunday you can do that in Israel. He went to the driver's bureau and got the name and number of the owner of the car. And he called him up and said, were you the guy? He said, yeah. He said, I was. He said, I want to invite you to my house for Shabbos. And he said, the guy said, I'm not coming to your house for Shabbos. But the guy cajoled him and pleaded with him. And just said, you have to see who we are, what we are, what we're doing. So the guy came. It was okay. He said, as they were leaving, he said, come back again, please. So he said, maybe. It bothered him, though. This man bothered this driver of this car. Come back again. And he eventually became a regular guest, then a frequent guest, and then someone who became Sabbath observant himself. So all it takes is just a little menschlichkeit. Don't throw rocks. Invite them into Shabbos. That's the motto. Anyway, that's going to do it. We thank you so much for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great Shabbos. Take care. Ya ba 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 ba, ya ba ba ba, ya ba ba.